I'm going to ask Dr. Scott Guidry if he'd come. And he had a word in his heart to share just quickly this morning. Amen.
Quickly being the operative word there. I got it, Pastor. It'll be about 2 hours. No problem. But, I was in my quiet time this morning, and God gave me a word to give you all, to encourage you, to encourage those of us who are going through tribulation this morning, because we all have, either we're overcoming a trial or we're going through a trial, or we have overcome a trial or we're going through a trial. So if I ask everyone to raise their hands and going through a trial, I don't even need to do that. I know it. But I want to encourage you that his word says that we glory in tribulation. And in that tribulation, it produces endurance. When we stay focused on the will of God, and that endurance produces character. That character produces hope. And we know we can have hope because God's love is shed and abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. That love that we know. And man, I don't even think we'd ever understand his love until we get to heaven. But gosh, the Holy Spirit reveals that love as time goes on. I think if you revealed all of it right now, I don't think we could handle it, to be honest with you. For those of you that are thinking that you're going through a trial now because God's mad at you, I have a word for you. He said in Isaiah, this is before Jesus died on a cross, 700 years before Jesus died on a cross, he said, just as I swore that the waters of Noah would not cover the earth, I swear that I will not rebuke you or be angry with you. Just like the mountains will be removed and the hills will depart, or it's the mountains will depart and the hills will be removed, my steadfast love will not depart, nor my covenant be removed. His covenant, y'all, is his promises. And he has blessed us with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That materializes in your life. He loves us so much. In Zephaniah 3:17, he said, he loves us so much, he delights in us so much that he rejoices over us in singing. Isn't that unbelievable? Just to know that the life that I live now, I live by faith, by the faith of the Son of God. King James Version says the faith of the Son of God. Other versions say the faith in the Son of God. But then we find out that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. How many of y'all know that the work that he started in us, he will finish it? He will finish it. Let me encourage you that do not grow weary but while doing good, okay? Because in due season he will reap if you do not lose heart. Folks, stay focused on his word. We may be struggling financially. We may be struggling in our relationships, struggling with chronic pain, chronic diseases. He did not put that on us. Let me tell you, the closer you get to God, the more you perform in doing his, not performing, that's a bad word, the more you're in his will and obedient to him, the closer you get to him, the more the devil's going to attack you. I can tell you that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, okay? Jesus came to give us life, abundant life. I want everybody here to realize what it means to have the power of the Holy Spirit in us and to have everything that Jesus has. As he is, so are we in this world. Amen.
Thank you, Scott. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Scott. That was so good. Thank you, Lord. I love the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's prepare our hearts for the Word of God. I want to talk to you this morning about overcoming doubt. Overcoming doubt. And as a part of this process this morning, something the Lord began to speak to me about that's so important for us to understand. We've got this thing that You know, most of us that grew up in church or been in church a lot of our lives, been around church, we've got this little game we play. And we fall into this little trap. And I just really believe God wants us to be free of that. Free of some of our traditions. And I'm not saying all of our traditions are bad, but sometimes we get so religious, you know, so churchy. And I think God just wants us to be free from that, because I think that's when we get more honest with God. And the more honest we are and more open we are with God, the more vulnerable we are, but the more work He can do in our lives. So oftentimes when we're coming to church, we've got this spiritual phone booth that we jump into on the way to church. And once we come out of that phone booth, you know, you remember the old Superman comics? You know, he would jump into a phone booth, and when he came out of the phone booth, Clark Kent would go into the phone booth, and when he came out of the phone booth, he was Superman, right? So I think sometimes we have this phone booth that we jump into on Sunday mornings, and when we come out of the booth, we're like super Christian, you know, and why did you do that? Because I'm on my way to church, right? So I got to get prepared for church, got to get kind of get super Christian. And we come into the door and we're like, hello, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, God bless you. And we just got this thing we got going on. And, you know, it's like, and then after we leave, we go back to, you know, kind of what we are. And I just think God, I would rather us just come in here and be what we are. Could we just leave the phone booth? You know, why don't we just bypass the phone booth? Y'all know what I'm saying? And just because, you know, God loves you just the way you are. And He will minister to you and love you just the way you are. I just think we need to get more real with God and more open and more honest and just quit all that, you know. And that's just a word that I felt the Lord putting in my heart this week. I just think it will help us as a church. I think it will help us minister to other people, just to have that realness about us and just to love people where they are and let them love us where we are. And just, let's just stop pretending. Amen. Just because there's a lot of pretending that goes on in church. Amen. It's true. And, you know, and for good reason, I understand, because I grew up in it. For a lot of us, depending on your background, your tradition, your theology demanded that you pretend. You had to kind of play that game, you know, and act like I'm this or I'm that when you knew you wasn't, but you just kind of had to do it anyway. And that has a little bit to do with what we're going to talk about this morning, about overcoming doubt. Because let's be honest, we all have doubts. We all have doubts. We all have moments when we doubt. We all have moments when we wrestle with things. And we have times when we're not sure and we're uncertain. And I don't know about God, and I don't know about all this, and I know there's a God, but I don't know that He loves me the way He loves, you know, some of those other people. Seems like He really loves some of those people, and more than He loves me, and I don't know that I believe everything that's preached and sung and said, and I just have doubts. And we all walk there. So I want to show you something, Word, our first scripture I want to look at this morning, and I'm in kind of a teaching mode this morning more than I am preaching. I just feel like the Lord wants me to teach. So I love to preach the Word of God. Preaching is what the Bible calls exhortation, and the Word of God, and we are exhorted, are encouraged in the Word of God. Amen. But sometimes we need to be instructed in the things of God so that we can learn, not just be encouraged and built up, fired up, but to learn and grow. James chapter 1 verse 6 says, but when you ask, amen, when you come to the Lord with a need and you're applying the Word of God to that situation, and that's really what this means, when you are applying the Word of God to the situation, He says, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Wow. And I think this is some of our problem. You know, when we have unanswered prayer, when we're not receiving, when we're not walking in that place with God that we'd like to, it's because we have doubts. The Bible says that
Sometimes our prayers are not answered because we ask amiss. We're praying wrongly, and we're not approaching God in the right attitude and in the right way. And so because of that, because we have doubts, we just, you know, I'm not sure I really believe all this. Well, you know, we're hindering ourselves right there. So you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. When we are uncertain about something, we're not sure, you don't have a foundation, you're not planted. And because you're not sure about it and you're moving around, you can be tossed here and there. And we're living in a time when there's all kinds of belief systems out there, people saying all kinds of things, and it's easy to get caught up in that. And if you don't really know, and you're not grounded, and you've gone past that place of doubting. So let's look at an example of the Word of God of a man who struggled with doubt. And it's not Thomas, although he would be a good one. But Matthew chapter 11, our next verse this morning, verses 2 and 3. And when John heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Wow. Folks, this is John the Baptist. This is John. We call him John the Baptist. The Bible doesn't call him John the Baptist, but we do. John, who baptized out in the wilderness and preach the message of repentance. This John, who was arrested and put in prison for preaching and calling Herod out because of Herod's marriage, an incestuous marriage to his brother's wife, and John called him on it. How many of you know we're supposed to preach the truth? And John called him on it. It's not right what you're doing. And so Herod had him silenced, thrown in prison. Now he's discouraged. And he's losing focus. And because he's losing focus, doubt is creeping in. So he sends a message to Jesus and he says, "Look, I really need to know something. Are you really this Messiah that's been promised? I mean, are you the one that was promised to come? Are you him? Because I'm not sure anymore. Or do we need to be looking for somebody else?" That's incredible. "I'm just not sure you're the guy. I don't know. I'm confused. And if you're not, we need to be looking elsewhere." John the Baptist had doubts. So sometimes we have doubts. You're in good company. John the Baptist was a great man. He's a great man of God. Listen to what Jesus said about John. This will blow your mind. Our next scripture says, Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, it says, "Surely I say to you, among them that are born of women," well, everybody's born of women, right? So Jesus said, among those who are born of women, so what he's saying here is everybody that's ever been born, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Wow. Jesus said that. I'm just telling you right now, because I know, among everybody that's ever walked on this earth, there's never been anybody greater than John. Whew. That's incredible. But the greatest man who ever lived, I'm just telling you what Jesus said, the greatest man who ever lived is like, "Are you sure? I just don't know. Should we be looking for somebody else?" I want you to think a minute about who John was. The Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit while he was in the womb. Jesus wasn't even filled with the Holy Spirit while he was in the womb, but John was. John was filled with the Holy Spirit while he was in Elizabeth's womb. He sacrificed everything and lived a life of denial and lived in the desert and living that life of self-denial, gave everything to God. He had nothing. He sought nothing. He wanted nothing except to be consumed with God. He spent 30 years preparing for his ministry before he launched out. And thousands of people came to hear him preach in the middle of nowhere. He didn't have an air-conditioned building. He didn't have padded chairs and seats and nice atmosphere and sound systems and music. He was in a desert. It was uncomfortable. And thousands of people made that journey to go out there and hear what this man had to say. This was an incredible, incredible man. And at this stage of his life, he had zero doubt about Jesus. Look at this verse. Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. When he saw Jesus, he told everybody, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You know what he's saying? There he is. That's him. That's the Messiah. That's the Christ. That's the anointed one. That's the one who was sent to take away the sins of the world. John 1:34 says, I saw and bear record that this is John saying, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So if you're standing there by John when he says that and you say, any doubts? No. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I bear record that this is the Son of God. We've all been in that atmosphere where we were sure and we knew and we were like, God's moving and I believe in miracles and I know that God is able. It's easy when we're in here and the presence of God is flowing and there's anointings and God is moving and we're like, I just know it. But then when we're out there in the world, on the job, dealing with stuff, dealing with things at home, dealing with family, dealing with friends, dealing with relationships, and we're going through hurt and confusion and misunderstanding, that's sometimes when the doubt creeps in. And John is in a bad place. And the doubt is starting to creep in. He was thrown in prison, had been there for several months. And so he sends this word to Jesus. Are you really him? Because I'm not sure anymore. I'm not sure anymore. I got doubts. And how did Jesus respond? Jesus responded by reminding John of the Word of God. Folks, this is important because I think this is just, we cannot emphasize this enough. We must believe the Word of God and not doubt it. So the first thing I got to do is I got to get it in my heart that that Bible you've got, that Bible is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And once you know that in your heart, this is the Word of God, and I believe it. I believe it. So here's what Jesus said to him. Let's look at a verse out of Isaiah chapter 35, because Jesus is going to quote this verse. It is the Word of God. In other words, how did Jesus respond to John? He just quoted the Word. He quoted the Word of God. Isaiah 35 says, the eyes of the blind shall be opened. This is a prophecy of what the Messiah will do when he comes. And the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. So when they came to him and said, are you he that is promised? Matthew 11 verses 4 and 5, look at this verse. Jesus answered and said to them, basically he's going to quote Isaiah 35, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. Go and tell him the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. You know what Jesus was saying? Go and tell John that I have fulfilled Isaiah 35. Go and tell John that the word of God is true. Go and tell John that the word of God has come to pass just like it said it would. The word of God is happening just like he said, because the word of God is true and you can believe it. Believe the word. So that word was brought back to John. He brought back to John the word. And that's what I want us to focus on this morning as we get ready for our ministry time, is to focus on the word. I have to believe the word of God, not what you feel. Let me tell you something about feelings. Feelings are honest things. If you tell me, Glenn, it's how I feel, it's just how I feel. And sometimes people, you know, I don't feel like you love me, or I don't feel like this, or I don't feel like, you know, that don't mean your feelings are right, but it does mean they're real. They're real. It's how you feel. It's an honest thing. Feelings are honest things. They're not always right, but they're honest. And so when we feel something and say, how I feel, I want you to understand that it may be how you feel, but that don't mean it's right. John was experiencing a lot of confusion and feelings rushing over him, but they were not right. And sometimes the same thing happens to you. You feel this or you feel that, and the enemy's very deceptive with your emotions. He'll bring all kinds of things in and just bring the, you know, the battle's in your mind, and he fills you with those emotions to create confusion. You cannot govern your life by your five senses. You cannot govern your life by how you feel. What you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you smell, what you touch. Greater than all those things, because they can deceive you. I have to believe the word of God. Even if you reach the point where, yeah, but I see this. If what I see doesn't line up with the word of God, I have to believe the word of God. If what I hear does not line up with the word of God, but I hear it, don't matter. It's not the word of God. If what I feel don't line up with the word of God, I have to trust the word of God. I have to trust the word of God, no matter what, no matter what. And we have to reach a place where I will not be moved off of this position. I believe the word, and you can't move me off of it. And I believe it. I believe it. I believe Jesus is a healer. I believe Jesus is a savior. I believe Jesus is a redeemer. I believe Jesus is a redeemer. Amen. I believe Jesus gives us joy. I believe Jesus gives us peace. I believe Jesus washes away everything that stood against us. I believe in his mercy. I believe in his grace. I believe in his healing power. I believe those things, and I will not be moved off of that. No matter what I see, no matter what I feel, no matter what I'm surrounded by. There's only two times, and this is interesting to me, there's only two times in the Bible that Jesus was, that he marveled at something. He was amazed. He marveled at it. Only two times the Bible says that he marveled. And both times it had to do with faith. You know what that tells me? That tells me that faith is way more important than we realize. Amen. That tells me that believing and not doubting is essential to reaching the heart of God and seeing results flow out of the word of God. God's already done the work, but if we're going to tap into the power of that, we have to believe it. In Mark 6, the Bible says he marveled at the people's unbelief. He couldn't get over it. I'm amazed at their unbelief. It had to do with faith. It had to do with unbelief. And that, and Jesus, I'm amazed. And you know, I wouldn't want Jesus to walk out of here. You know, I wouldn't want Jesus spending a morning with us walking out of here going, I'm amazed at their unbelief. I'm just amazed at their unbelief, that they just don't believe the word of God. We don't want that, do we? No. No, I'd rather be the other one. In Matthew 8, the Bible says he marveled at the centurion's faith. I want to be that guy. Amen. The centurion that walked up and said, my servant needs healing. I love him. He means a lot to me. And Jesus starts to get up and says, well, let's go. Let's go pray for him. And the centurion says, well, it's not necessary. I'm a man of authority. I give orders. My men do it. And it's done. And if I, as a man of authority, can give orders and it gets done, then you, Son of God, have only to speak the word and it will happen. And the Bible says Jesus was amazed. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Here was a man who believed the word of God. He just believed it. He chose to believe it. And Jesus was like, it's cool. And Jesus told him, it's done. Amen. He didn't go there. He just, it's done. It's done. It's done. Eric, that testimony goes perfect with what I want you to share that here in just a second. Would you come on up? I want you to hear something about the minute you say it, it's done. All the centurion needed was the word of God. A man came to Jesus and he said, my son needs healing. He has these fits and seizures and sometimes having a seizure, he throws himself into the fire. It's dangerous. We don't know what to do. I had your disciples pray for him and they couldn't do anything. And then he looked at Jesus. He said, I was wondering if you can do something. That's church. That's us, right? That's us. I just wondering. I mean, how many times do we come in here going, God, can you help me? Can you do anything? And Jesus looked at the man. I just see this love just pouring out of his eyes, just compassion. He looks at the man and says, you're asking the wrong question. The question is not, can I? You're asking, do I have the power to heal your son? That's the wrong question. And Jesus threw it back and said, the question is, can you believe? Amen? Can you believe? And I love his answer. And that gets back to what I was talking about earlier, because this is as honest an answer in the Bible as there can be. He said, I believe. I believe. Then he said, but help my unbelief. That's where we are. We walk there. Lord, I believe. I'm trying to believe. I'm struggling with it. I'm trying to get this faith thing down. But there's parts of me that are not sure. There's parts of me that I don't know, and I'm struggling with. Help me with it. And God wants you to understand, if you can reach that place where you say, God, I have chosen to believe you even more than what I see and feel and everything that's around me, I believe you. Eric, share that word just like you shared it with me so that people can see what God is doing.
I didn't come up here to, I shared this with Glenn earlier. I didn't know I was going to do this. But I'm going to tell you one thing I do know. The power of prayer is just unbelievable. I've had more people pray for me this week, these 3 weeks, that I know that prayer cured my hand. I had great doctors, no doubt. What happened was, if you didn't know, I thought I'd gotten bit by a spider. It got infected. I had it lanced. When it got infected the second time, I had gotten the disease or the bacteria MRSA. It's a real bad stuff. It really is. So I go in the hospital and they clean it out and everything. And everybody's saying, Eric, we're praying for you. They told me I was going to be in the hospital for maybe 3 weeks. I was going to be on IV drip maybe 3 weeks. Might go home with home help 3 weeks. And this is honest truth. These happen now. People don't realize, but this happens now. I was on a 12-foot cord with my IV. Scott knows you, 12 feet from the bed to the bathroom. That's your life. I'd never been in the hospital before. I was crazy stuff was going on in my head. You can imagine. I had my business. I had, what am I going to do? I was going crazy. But this is the truth. I went in the bathroom. And me and the Lord had a talk. And I knew that by listening to Glenn, I've learned so much from Glenn in this talking in tongues. And I truly believe that. I don't know if you do, but I'm telling you, Glenn has a way of explaining it. It's true. But me and the Lord had a talk that day about my hand. I wasn't supposed to go home till several days later. I mean, a week. I got in there and I talked. I said, I got really down. I said, Lord, we're fixing to have a discussion. This is not of you. And I really got really to the point where I was almost yelling. And I was saying, God, I know in heaven there's no sickness. There's no hurting. I said, this is not of God. This is evil. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you will come out of me. In the name of the Father, this will come out of me. And I talked to the wound. I talked to the wound, and I really got down with the wound. And I said, this is not of Jesus Christ. There's no sickness in heaven. There's nobody hurting in heaven. There's no cripples in heaven. I said, this is not of God. This is not his will. I need to be back. I've got to play drums. I got to work. I said, God, this is not of you. This is only you. Only you can heal this. And I know through the name of Jesus Christ. And I said, through the name of Jesus Christ, you will leave my hand. Now, a word came to me after I started talking in tongues, and you're going to think this is crazy, but the day Sunday came to my mind. It said, Sunday, you'll be gone. Sometimes when you talk in tongues, God will say things to you that you don't know where they come from. You really don't. And so I came out of that bathroom, and I said, Lucretia, me and God just had a talk. He said, I'm getting out Sunday. I said, pain medicine you're on right now. She said, that's pain. I said, I'm telling you, God told me Sunday I was getting out. A few days go by. Like I said, I had great doctors. A few days go by. Sunday comes. I'm not supposed to get out till Tuesday, really. They tell me I wasn't going home Tuesday. The Lord told me Sunday. Sunday afternoon, it came 3 o'clock. And I'm telling you, I'm looking at the clock. I see my doctor leave the hospital. He didn't come in to see me that day. I saw him leave the hospital, and I saw his nurse leave after that. And I'm thinking, I know God told me Sunday. 4 o'clock, 4:30. And I looked at the clock, and I had a little doubt. I said, I know God. The door opened up. The door opened up. The nurse said, I think we're going to let you out today. I'm telling you, yes, I had to go home with some strong medicine. Yes, I had, my wife took care of my wound. Yes, it still hurt. I had to pack it. If you ever had to pack a wound, it hurts. But I went home Sunday. God told me Sunday. I believed God. But I'm telling you, the power of prayer, I had all my family praying for me, and I thank you so much. I had friends I don't even know about saying, we're praying for you. Now, even just because they said, I've done this before and you have too, I'm going to be praying for you. Just, and you know, some of them do or some of them, but just by somebody saying, I'm going to pray for you, at least for that second, I'm in their mind. It might leave when you walk out the door, and that was okay. But I'm telling you, the power of prayer is unbelievable and is true. God was true to his word. Now I've got a scratch where my hand was almost twice the size. I had to cut the ring off almost. But anyways, I've got a scratch, and that wound is almost healed. I mean, practically healed. And that's through the power of God. And that's a true story. So miracles happen today. You just got to talk to it.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. That excites me, because Eric took the word of God and put it in action and said, I choose to believe it. Amen. And he didn't say it, but that's that flesh-eating thing you've been hearing about. That's what he had. And it was coming up his arm, turning red. And I mean, God reversed that thing. Amen. And that's exciting. So we just got to start believing. And I know you're going to struggle from time to time because we're human. And I know things get in our face and they distract us. But that's where we're just going to have to clamp down and say, you know what? I choose to believe the word of God. Amen. No matter what. Let's stand together.